You are now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z. Get seen today and contact us at www.jzsocialenterprises.com. Today the show is brought to you by ConnectPay.com. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today I'm really excited to have such a fabulous guest on the line, Gaia S. Morissette, who is a sexual wellness coach, author, columnist, and founder of Succulent Living. Hi Gaia, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you, and it's awesome you're from Canada. Are you originally from Canada?
Yes.
Fabulous. So tell us a little bit about your background. So how did you get into the sexual wellness world?
So this is a very, you know, popular question. Everybody always asks me, like, how did you end up doing your job? And the story I always tell is that when I was about 14, 15 years old, my mother took me to this goddess women's weekend. And when you're 14, that's not cool, right? Like, where are the boys, right? Like, why are you making me hang out with these crazy feminists? Wild women, right? So needless to say, I was like, this was not cool. So I went and hid from all the crazy women, right? So I'm down in the basement and I'm reading a book, hiding from these women. And this woman finds me down in the basement and she walks in and she's in her late 60s, early 70s. And she says, she just blurts out, I've never had an orgasm. Now, a typical 14, 15 year old girl would be like, ah, why are you telling me that? But I didn't. I was like, really? That's awful. I put my book down. I walked over to her. She was crying. She's like, it's too late. I gave her a hug. I told her it wasn't too late. And I proceeded to teach her how she could masturbate to orgasm.
At 14.
Right?
Amazing.
So it was like, that was the pivotal moment of my life that changed everything. Because after that moment, I couldn't go anywhere without people talking to me about sex. And when I say anywhere, I mean it. I'd be standing at the bus stop and some dude would start talking to me about his penis issues. I get into a cab. The cab driver started telling me about his issues with his wife. My friends started giving out my phone numbers to like random people. I'd pick up the phone and I'll never forget this one moment. I'm sitting down to eat dinner and pick up this phone. And this woman says, me and my boyfriend are trying to have anal sex. How do we do it? And I'm like, who are you? And how did you get my phone number?
They just randomly called you and said that within picking up. That's hysterical.
Right? It's almost like when people are around me, they never bother to say hello or to introduce themselves before they blurt out whatever it is that they need to talk about sex, right? So that was kind of like always a part of my life. Uh-huh. And then I went to school to work with abused women and children. And again, because people not only felt safe to talk to me about sex, but they felt safe to talk to me about trauma and abuse and any kind of secret, that people always felt really safe with me, right? Even without me asking them or saying anything or just being quiet, people just blurt stuff out to me, right? So I end up going to school and then I end up opening up a pottery and drumming teaching studio. And
what
so
a combo.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So now everybody's coming in for pottery lessons and they're leaving, you know, getting healed and talking to me about sex and learning and education and stuff like that. So I did that for about 12 years and I was doing the sexual healing and awakening and education kind of in with the studio and the stuff I was doing, but also on the side. And finally, 7 years ago, I was like, okay, it's time to do this full time. I had a pottery studio and drumming studio for 12 years. And 7 years ago, I finally decided, okay, it's time for me to do this full time. And now I have a business card and business hours, and it's wonderful. So now when random people still say stuff to me, I'm like, that's wonderful. I can't wait to support you. Here's my business card. Book an appointment.
So how long have you been doing this, like by yourself, like broken off in professional business?
7 years.
Oh, my God. Cool.
Yeah. So it's been the last 7 years.
That's so awesome. And are you only Canada-based? You have clients everywhere kind of thing?
I have clients all over the world. I see, you know, I have a lot of American clients, actually. Because we can do sessions via Skype and other, you know, phone and things like that. So
That's so
yeah, and I
great.
also travel. I love traveling. So, you know, I travel to Costa Rica and I have clients in Costa Rica. And sometimes, you know, I have, you know, when I'm traveling, I always open it up to all my clients who wants to come spend time with me wherever I am. And so people will come down to wherever I am and will, you know, they'll get this epic adventure and this healing and this amazing trip of a lifetime. So
that's so fun. So what is the most common sex problem that people have you that you find recently?
So I would, first of all, I would say that, you know, my, how I work, I have three different aspects of my business. So there's my one-on-one coaching that I do, and that's mostly trauma-based. So people healing from sexual abuse trauma and recovering from, you know, some kind of form of trauma in their childhood or in their lives. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of the work that I do on a one-to-one basis. And then I get to do, you know, so I make sex safe, I make it better, and I help people take it to the next level. So I have like three different distinct kind of
three different phases of life, right? Basically.
And three different phases of life, right? Yeah. So, you know, the making it better is where I get to do all sorts of educational programs and workshops and retreats and seminars and talks, and taking it to the next level is we talk a lot about, you know, the alternative lifestyles as well as Tantra and the sacred sexual practice. So, you know, it's great. So as a sexual wellness coach, fundamentally, I work in five aspects. So I've started to find that when I was working with people, these five things kept coming up. And as a sexual wellness coach, I look at it mind, body, and spirit. And in the center is sexuality and who we are as a sexual being. And if any one of those three things are out of whack, your sexuality is out of whack. If your sexuality of who you are is out of whack, then all of those other aspects of your life are out of whack. So I look at it from a very holistic perspective. And the five aspects is play. The first one is play. So if we feel safe in the world, then we risk. And sex and sexuality is just an continuation of adult play.
Very true.
Then we have sensuality, which is the next aspect, which is about being present and being in your body and being full with all of your senses, right? And it's about surrendering to pleasure, life's pleasure, right? If we can't surrender to life's pleasure, how are we supposed to surrender to orgasmic pleasure? Right? It ain't gonna happen, right?
Right, exactly.
So then the third aspect is the sexuality, where we start talking about, you know, the nitty-gritty of more of the details of the acts of sexual, you know, sexual acts and surrendering to orgasmic pleasure and allowing orgasm to happen in your life. And then the fourth aspect is the exploration aspect, which is, of course, my favorite because it's the most fun. This is where we start to explore all the things that are no longer the vanilla sex, as I like to call, right? So, you know, anything that's...
So is vanilla sex like blah sex, basically?
Yeah. So vanilla sex is like, okay, it's like doing it with the lights off in missionary position and always in the bedroom.
So okay? Like the typical boring, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay, right? And then everything outside of that, there's like a whole gamut of amazing possibilities of pleasure and orgasmic bliss that can happen, that happens outside of that norm, right? That comfort zone. And that's the exploration aspect. Because when you go down the road of exploration, you got to risk, you got to be vulnerable, you got to share your deep dark secrets with your partner. And it's how I find relationships that's in that aspect that they bond and become the closest and the most in depth. And then the fifth aspect is the sacred, where the idea around Tantra, Taoism, and other sacred sexual practices is that we embrace being human and being in the body to reach higher states of consciousness. And a wonderful byproduct, of course, is pleasure and orgasm and all these great things. But fundamentally, it's about being all that it means to be human instead of denying the humanness.
So, right. That's so interesting.
So when people come see me, like to answer your question, I would say the biggest thing that they come to see me with, they think they're coming to see with me, is about problems in having orgasms, right? Not being orgasmic, or, you know, erectile dysfunction. These are kind of like why somebody might be like, oh, I totally need to go spend time with her. But what we find out is that that's actually just the byproduct. That's not actually the root problem, right? The root problem usually lies in one of those five aspects that we need to heal. and reclaim and reprogram our belief systems and our ideologies and all these things so that, because orgasm, this is a really important thing that I teach people, is that we live in a culture where we think about sex and the goal of sex is to have orgasm. And the minute you make orgasm the goal, you lose the whole point. Have an orgasm from that perspective, it's not a very good orgasm. Like on the scale of like epic, it's like a baby orgasm versus like, you know, I can't even remember my name.
Kind right of orgasm, at that point. Right? The two extremes, exactly.
The two extremes, yeah. Right? And so from that perspective, orgasm is the byproduct when we have our bodies, naturally what our bodies produce. If we have enough pleasure, our bodies respond with orgasms. Just like if we're sad, we cry, right? It's the same thing. So if we let go of the goal of orgasm, you actually end up having way more because all you need to do is, and also takes away of also all the performance anxiety and the pressures and all that kind of stuff.
That's so, so interesting. Wow. You really are making me think, Gaia. Very cool. Very insightful. So I totally want to talk about your book, too, that you're out with. So it's Stop, Drop, and Wiggle explores the first aspect of happiness and play, right?
Yes. Yes.
So how did this come together? I mean, obviously, you've been talking about your concept of happiness and play. So obviously, that's been something that stuck out to you, right?
Yeah. So first of all, surprisingly enough, it has nothing to do with sex. My book has nothing to do with sex. Which is really funny because people are like, what?
Right, because that's like what you do. Exactly.
Right. So actually this book came from a place of I'm sitting in the jungle of Costa Rica and I've sold my house and I am debt free and I'm living in the jungle and my life is everything I've ever wanted to be. You know, I always said that when I had those things, I would be happy. And as so many of us, that's what we believe, right? If we, it is an external thing, once we get it, we will be happy. So I'm sitting there in the jungle and everything is perfect and I should be like ecstatic, right? There's nothing going on in my life that isn't fabulous. I'm sitting hanging out with the monkeys. They're coming hanging out with me every day. I'm feeding the monkeys. It's great, right? And I've had like my fifth nap of the day. I realized one day I had like my fifth nap of my day and one of the dogs had woken me up and I was angry and I was upset. And I was like, really? Like,
why?
Why?
Right.
I can just go back to bed and have another nap in the hammock if I want to, right? Like, you know. And so I started to really observe that, holy crap, I am not a happy person. That when I'm not having some kind of stimulus, my natural emotional default is actually misery and suffering. And I was like, shit, I can't be one of those people. That's not okay. Right? So I was like, okay, what do I need to do? You know, with all the healing work that I do, as well as that I've done myself, I've never been able to actually really see that for that perspective because I'd never had everything I'd ever wanted, right?
Right.
So now I realize, okay, there's some deeper stuff here. And so it led me down the road of realizing that as a society, especially in North American society, we actually support most people's emotional default, the emotion that we have when we are at rest, where we have no external stimulation, most people's default is misery and suffering.
Makes a lot of sense, though. It makes so much sense.
And so I was like, okay, so how do I change this within myself? So I got Stop, Drop, and Wiggle, right? So there's 7 easy steps to change this up. And that's where the book came from is, and I started to see, oh, wow. When I started to do these steps, my life started to change. I started to change my default. I started to realize, holy, I am crazy, right? This is the other thing is because I started to be aware of the thoughts that were running through my mind that were creating these emotional responses. And you start to understand, oh, wow, we are all pretty much batshit crazy for the majority of our lives. That's what's happening in our brains. Right? And so one of the great steps that we do is we really start to look at our thoughts, right? And we put them into three categories. There's batshit crazy, and it's not about in the present moment. You're not responding. You're reacting to something that happened in the past, and you are triggered. So that's batshit crazy. The second stories that we tell ourselves are called situational stories. And that's about, 1% of the stories that we actually tell ourselves.
So it's like creating thoughts in your head, pretty much. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because our emotions are attached to our thoughts, and our thoughts are attached to our emotions.
Right.
Kind of like, is it the chicken or the egg? It's both of them, right?
Yeah.
And learning to separate our emotions from our thoughts, and learning how to master what thoughts we're having, right? So these thoughts fall into those three categories that we're having. And we have millions of thoughts every day. It's like thousands are happening all the time. And we're reacting and we're having emotions based on the thoughts, these stories that are running in our minds, right? Like a movie, right? A tape.
Right.
So the second one is situational. And the situational is about actually in the present. Your emotional response to the situation is geared to, it's the right amount of level of emotion based on what's happening, which allows us to take our creative problem solving skills so that that's how we move through those. And the third one is, I like to call it your inner critic. This is the asshole that follows you around all the time and tells you how much you suck. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. The not enough, not enough, not enough. And we actually could either have an inner critic or we can have an inner cheerleader. And for most of us, we got an inner critic. So we have to learn to reprogram our inner critic to our inner into our inner cheerleader, who's like, you rock, you can do it, you're awesome, right?
Right. It's like the devil and the angel on your shoulders, like what they show you in those shows. That's
exactly,
so funny.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's true, though. Like, it's so true.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Right? And the first one, how do you deal with your batshit crazies? There's nothing you can do other than acknowledge, wow, that is batshit crazy, and then laugh it away. There's nothing you can do about it. Just acknowledge it's crazy. I'm being crazy. And there's nothing for me to do other than let it go. So that's basically, the seven steps are very easy to do. We have our first step is called stop, which you stop the craziness, right? You take a moment and you stop and you feel your emotions, because this is the other problem, is that we spend a lot of time either avoiding our feelings or overanalyzing our feelings, and we don't actually just feel them. So a lot of our behaviors are, avoiding or wallowing. And so what happens is that we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy not feeling. If you have ever spent time with a two-year-old, two-year-olds are brilliant. Because a two-year-old is like, I am sad and I'm having a tantrum, and they throw themselves down on the ground. They have their tantrum. There's no judgment. There's no like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. And
right.
All this.
Exactly.
Is wrong.
Right.
Blah, 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 right. I'm not, feelings aren't safe. Like they're just having their feelings, and they fully have them. And it lasts, maybe a minute or two, and then they shake it off and then they go on with the rest of their day. Right. Well, as adults, we have forgotten that that's actually natural. That's how we're supposed to feel our feelings. We're supposed to feel them fully, but we only need to feel them for 30 seconds. We don't have to sit in them for hours and hours, days and days, years and years. We just need 30 seconds and with no judgment. And then the second step is to observe. So now we're going to observe what kind of thoughts we were having, right? We don't judge them. They're non-judgmental observation. And then we just put them in a bubble and we blow them away till we're moved away from the emotion so that we can actually process them, right? Then the third step is the wiggle. So you're going to wiggle until you giggle, right? So once you start wiggling, it's really hard to be angry while you're wiggling your ass. Right.
Think of a dog. Right.
Exactly. Right. And then once you start wiggling, you start to giggle, and laughter changes the biochemical response in our bodies. So then you laugh. So we move into the laughter stage. Then if that hasn't shifted your whole state, then you move into gratitude. And so we do 2 minutes of gratitude. And it's really, again, hard to say my life sucks when I've just said all the things for 2 minutes of all the things that I'm grateful for, right? And then you go to love. So you list all the people, places, and things that you love. And then the last step is called shit or get off the pot.
Right? It's perfect.
Which is perfect, right? Yeah. And this is now where we've put those into. Remember that I talked about those three categories? Mm-hmm. Now we take our thoughts that we had in the second step and we now put it into its proper category, and then we process however we need to process it. And so it's super easy, super quick, and it's amazing how it changes your life. And it's like going to deep, it's like going to therapy for years and not having to go to therapy.
Right, because you're just getting it all out of your system after reading the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. And the book's really cute and it's really fun and I swear and a lot. So, you know, it's good.
It's perfect. That's so you, though. You can just get that energy off of your vibe, you know? It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love your energy. It's so fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So, if I was a potential client, you know, coming to you for a consultation, depending on what I decide to do with your three different categories, how does it work? How does it work?
So, if you wanted to come work with me, the first thing you do is you would either send me an email or you give me a call. And we have a little chat to see where are you at and whether or not I'm a good fit. And then if we decided that we're a good fit, then what happens is we do an intake session. And in that intake session, it can go from an hour to 4 hours, depending on how much you need to share with me. And unlike traditional talk therapy, we are going to get a snapshot of your history of makeup, who you are, where you are, but then we want to figure out where you want to go. And we only really spend much, we don't spend much time in the past. You've already, as far as I'm concerned, you've already lived through it. Let's learn what you need to learn from it, and let's create what you need to create and who you want to be, right?
Totally.
So whatever it is that you want to create in your life, whether that's from a sexual standpoint, whether that's in happiness, whether that's about relationships, whatever, it's career, whatever it is, right? And then we start the journey. So we create an action plan together. And that might continue. Like, I also do healing sacred body work about touch and getting into your body and feeling safe and all those kind of things as well. So how we work depends on what's best for the client.
Love it. I mean,
that answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the way that you and I are Skyping now, like with international clients, is that what you do a lot of the time?
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be what we would be doing. Also, if we needed to do body work, then clients that are around the world, we would then figure out when you could come see me, or you know, people have me come see them, so bring me to them, right? So, so it's like depending on where you are, because there's a lot of healing that needs to be done that we don't have to be in person for. But if there's stuff that we need to do in person, then there's ways in which we can make sure that that happens.
Totally. Now, let's get to know Gaia outside of your fun career. I mean, not that you probably, you know, whatever. But so tell us what you like to do for fun when you're not working, even though your lifestyle is freaking awesome. Let's be realistic.
Let's be realistic. Okay, so the first thing that's the most important thing that I love to do is frolic. I love frolicking. And I not only do I love frolicking, but I'm also a nudist. Okay, so I love to frolic naked in the forest somewhere.
That's right? Hilarious. Love it.
You know, there's an amazing nudist resort close to where I live, and I'm a member. And if it's nice out, that's where you'll find me.
That's so unique, though. Like, seriously, what a great story to share. Thank you. That's so cool.
You know, the other thing that I love doing, and it's really important, is I love traveling and I love the jungle, and the more obscure the travel, the better, you know? So if I have to like take me 4 days to get where I'm going and it's in the middle of buttfuck nowhere and then it's like in the middle of nature, that's where I'm the happiness, because I spend so much time talking and speaking and working with people and being with people that when I travel, it's and I go into those places, it's how I refuel my energy, right? It's where I get back what I put out energetically in the world. And it's also where I'm the most inspired. So that's usually where I'm creating and writing and developing and things like that.
So
and
awesome.
I love monkeys.
Yeah, monkeys.
Monkeys.
You know, you can have one as a pet, right? Can't you?
You should never have a monkey as a pet. That is very, very wrong.
I have heard of it. That's why I was asking.
Yes, because what monkeys that are pets means that they've been stolen from the wild. Oh. And it's usually in the black market, and it's destroying the environment and all that kind of stuff. So we never
want to do that.
Monkeys yeah. as pets.
Yeah, we right? don't.
So if you want to become friends with the monkeys, you have to go to their habitat and hang out in their world, and they will befriend you.
Yeah. Are they friendly? Like, have you ever like pet one or
Yes. Well, I wouldn't recommend non-monkey people to go off and try to pet monkeys,
right?
Because they can be very vicious and
totally.
They could eat you. And you know, some are, you know, like certain things. Like, you know, if you smile, because they're so cute, you want to smile. They think that is a threat, and they can bite your face off and things like that. So they are wild animals, right?
Right.
Like with any wild animal, you need to be educated,
cautious, right?
You know, they're not domesticated animals, right? So yes, but I have a passion for monkeys because each species of monkeys that I've spent time with are incredible teachers for me. So, you know, they've taught me some seriously major life lessons. Like one of the, just as a little, you know, side note is, you know, the howler monkeys in Costa Rica, you know, they've taught me from sitting and spending time with them, just watching them, that eating and sleeping is a valid lifestyle choice.
Totally.
And so it reminds me that, okay, I need to take care of myself. I need to eat properly. I need to sleep properly. Having naps during the day is it's a valid lifestyle choice. It's really good. You know, there's these really cute monkeys are called squirrel monkeys, and they're amazing. They're like these tiny, tiny little monkeys, and they just like run through the jungle, and then they jump, and you think, oh my God, they're not going to catch the next tree, and they land perfectly every time.
Insane.
And so I got to watch thousands of them do this, right? You know, over the course of my time of spending time with them. And what they taught me was if you jump, you need to risk fully and commit to it, and you will land exactly where you need to land in life.
That was inspiring.
For me, yeah. So for me, that's where, you know, my inspiration is like the monkeys, just like their personalities are so different, and they're in each species, and they have so many wonderful things to teach us. So that's me. When I'm not teaching about sexuality and healing and those kind of things, I'm, you know, off frolicking, most likely naked, and hanging out with nature.
Love it. I love it. But that's so key. Like, you have to love yourself. You know, that's what you're all about, is you're sharing it. And it's so great that you can share this with us. So I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're
so welcome. Tell everyone where they could follow you on social media and how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. So my website is www.succulentliving.com. You can get a hold of me on Facebook. My business Facebook is Gaia Morissette. So if you want to become friends, that's the best way. And I have a Succulent Living page. So if you really want to follow what's going on, that's another really great way of following me. And that's the best way to really get in touch with you.
Yeah.
You get in touch with me is that, you know, because my Facebook is linked up to all of my other social media stuff. So that's the best way to do it.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Gaia. You so inspired us and me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So tell me three things that you are passionate about in life.
Ooh, that's a good question. My career. I would say I would say money and finances, because I want to live comfortably to do what I want to do. And okay. I would say like family. Like, I'm very close to my family and my pets, my dog.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. I love asking questions.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay? Have fun. Yeah, sure. This never happens, the reverse role play. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, so my next question is, what turns you on in life?
That's a really great question. What turns me on in life? People that are passionate about things that they do, you know, like go-getters and people that work hard, because when they work hard, the long term is just so, I can't think of the right word, but it's so amazing that, like, it's so great to see somebody go far. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So I really admire that.
And what turns you off in life?
What turns me off? I have a foot fetish. I hate feet. Oh, so it wouldn't be a fetish. I would be like...
Wouldn't be the fetish. It's the opposite.
Right. So what is it called?
It would be
Pet peeve. Yeah.
Phobia. There we go. Phobia.
Okay, phobia. There we go. Yeah. So I don't like feet at all. So that's the first thing that I don't like. And I really just don't like people that are lazy, like that give, like, for example, like when I used to work 9-to-5 jobs in my past, like the bosses would hand me their work and not do their work, but they'd have the title, you know, like that's where it's hard in the corporate 9-to-5 world. So that's why I'm all about entrepreneurs, you know, because we know what we want to do and we do it, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay. All right. So can I ask you a risque question?
Sure.
Okay. So what sexually turns you on in the world?
What sexually turns me on? Guys with no shirts on with six packs, 100%.
Nice.
I would say people that dress well. I really am I love fashion. Like, that totally turns me on, even for girls, because when you dress well, you look fabulous. So just rock it, you know? What else turns me on? I guess with nature, I love ocean, water. I find that that's where I get, like, the nature side of you, but water makes me turned on because I feel so peaceful and within myself, you know? So, yeah, I would say those do.
Okay, so what sexually turns you off besides feet?
So, what sexually turns me off besides feet? Bad breath, absolutely the worst thing, and body odor when you don't take care of yourself. I would say in the bedroom, not changing it up. Like, you need to change it up. I agree. The boring vanilla, like, will never go far. Like, it's just going to last you only a little while. So that's what sexually turns me
Excellent.
Off.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good questions. I'm glad you turned it around a little bit. That was fun. That was really fun. Thank you for doing that. So how are my answers?
They were good. They were very good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad. Everybody has to tune in with Gaia and follow her. She's so inspiring and so much fun. I mean, this is just a little preview of who she is, which is so awesome. So I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Of course. It was so fun. And I definitely want you to come back on. Like, totally. We'll talk about this after the show. But thank you, everyone, for tuning into The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Be sure to check out succulentliving.com and Gaia Morissette on Facebook. And stay tuned till next time. Don't forget to check out Get Seen's latest issue, releasing May 1st on www.jzsocialenterprises.com. Don't forget, The Social Scene is where you can get seen today by thousands between blogger placements, special events, radio features, magazine features, and more. Contact us today at jzsocialenterprises@gmail.com.